Friends, let's just call a spade a spade. These have been dark days indeed. And we may be looking at some dark days to come. And yet in the scripture reading that we have just heard, we hear Paul write to the Ephesians that you may know the hope to which he has called you. And that hope is the topic of this talk this morning. What is hope? Why does hope matter? The times when hope hurts, and that we are called to be bringers of hope. So what is hope? You may have seen a few Christmas trees popping up in windows already, and some of you may be thinking, why? Well, lovely Amy, who is a friend of St. Paul's, recently posted this. An image will be coming up on your screens. This was on the 25th of October. Amy wrote, 2020 has been a horrible year for everyone, and I want to cheer the household up. Amy, I don't blame you in the slightest. 2020 has been a tough year. For some of us, the toughest year that we've had. And it is very rare for this to be a community-wide experience. Normally there's a bend and a lean, and we can kind of pick each other up, but this has been a tough year for everyone. We urgently need to be reminded of the hope that we are called to in Christ. And those decorating their trees like Amy may be doing so because they love the twinkly lights, because they enjoy the pretty things that they're able to look at. But I think there's something deeper going on. I think there's something going on at a global and a national level. There is something stirring in our nation. In the Chronicles of Narnia, Aslan refers to the deep magic from beyond the dawn of time. And by this, I think he means the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is stirring something in our hearts. And in these dark days, we are called both to look on the reality of this world, not to be flippant about it, to face the circumstances that we see, but also to remember the hope to which we are called. One definition of hope I came across said, to want something to be true and to have good reason to think that it might be. Although that was a secular definition, that is a surprisingly Christian interpretation of hope. Because Christian hope is not an overactive imagination. It's not rooted in a nice idea. It's not stardust and moonshine. Christian hope is rooted in historical events that really occurred in a specific time and a specific place. Perhaps you're watching this morning and that's actually news to you. Perhaps you thought Christianity was just one ideology. And if that's you, then just to reiterate what Rachel said at the start of this service, invite you to come on Alpha and press into those questions. We're starting on the 12th of January, just a taster session, probably online. Get in touch if you would like to explore the meaning of life with us. Back to the topic of hope. An excerpt from Peter Cook's monologue, Sitting on the Beach. I'm very interested in the universe. I'm specializing in the universe and all that surrounds it. I'm studying Nesbitt's book, The Universe and All That Surrounds It, An Introduction. He says that the Earth is spinning into the sun and we will all be burnt to death. But he ends on a note of hope. He says, I hope this will not happen. That is not Christian hope. That is rooted in wishful thinking, you know, like fingers crossed. That is not Christian hope. Responding to that passage, Mike Lloyd said, if the universe is all there is, if creation is not held in the hand of the Creator and held by love, then that kind of wishful thinking is the only kind of cosmic hope that there could be. But there is someone outside of creation who made it and loves it and sustains it and is committed to it. And therefore, there is tangible hope for it. This is manifestly true. There is hope for us today. And hope in the Bible is not wishful thinking or fingers crossed. Paul prays that you may know the hope to which you are called, the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and the immeasurable power for us who believe, according to the work of his great power. And this is the critical bit. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead. That really happened. As my four-year-old would say, for real life. That really happened for real life. Jesus defeated death and rose from the grave. If that doesn't give us hope, nothing will. It's so easy when we speak of hope to become fixated on the specifics, the thing that we are hoping for. And I have done this so many times. It can actually become quite idolatrous in the end. You lose sight of Jesus, the cause of our hope. And my hands would start to grip the thing that I was wanting so badly and praying for, and as I perceived it needing, and the Lord had to kind of prise my fingers off the thing one by one, because actually it was only when my hands were empty and upturned that he could fill them again with his hope and his blessing. What is hope? Hope is Jesus who has conquered death. Secondly, why does hope matter? Nelson Mandela said, and big thanks to Michael Eve who tagged me in this on social media yesterday, hope is a powerful weapon which no one on earth can deprive us of. Hope is a powerful weapon which no one on earth can deprive us of. When you're in the selection process for ordination, part of that discerning is going away for 3 days with peers and a panel of people who are called to help you discern. In one of these interviews, I was asked to sum up the whole gospel in one word. And as a whispered gift from God, the word landed in my heart immediately. But I was really conscious of not coming across as rash or flippant, so I sort of furrowed my brow and tried to look very studious for a few moments and scholarly before I said, hope. The panel member smiled. I was flooded with relief. It was clearly the right answer. The whole gospel can be summed up in the word hope and also love. But we're talking about hope today. The tiniest dot of hope can make the biggest difference to our outlook. I use Charlie Mackesy's paintings a lot in my sermons, I know, but this is another brilliant one. There's an image coming up. It is the depiction of a person without hope on the left. And on the right, you can see a person, and you might be able to make out a tiny, tiny dot in the middle. That dot in the original is actually a real pearl. It is a pearl of hope. And the outlook that he depicts, I think, is very accurate. It changes how we view the whole world. And that is so necessary right now. We are all under extraordinary strain this year. Anxiety and distress for many of us have become our norms. At a low level, we're operating at this place day in and day out. And there is an urgent need to dial down the noise and the clamor of our world and to come back to the one who is hope. God can satisfy our needs, can quell our fears, and can root us in his peace. The alternative is that we are paralyzed by fear, that we slip into a form of self-managed control. We immerse ourselves in our problems and our fears, and they grow and they can take over our minds. And as that happens, so it becomes a barrier to receiving the love of God, and it becomes a barrier to sharing that love with others. We have to be rooted in him. Hope in Christ matters. As we walk with him, so our preoccupations fall away like boulders dropping out of a heavy backpack, and the glory again shines on us, and we are filled with hope and peace that passes all understanding. And as we are filled, so it shines from us. But that takes time. I am so guilty of saying I have no time, but actually I have time for the things that I prioritize in life. One of the most beautiful times of meeting with the Lord recently for me was our joint church's prayer evening. It's the first time I think we've done it online. And it was an extraordinary time of receiving from him for me. And I urge you to join us. And I also love our pre-work communion services on a Wednesday morning at 8:30 when our doors are open, of course. Really short, sort of 25, 30-minute service, but so leaves me filled for the day. As we attend to God, so he attends to us, and we allow him to do the hard graft for us. Hope in him matters. And hope can hurt. The Bible talks in Proverbs about hope deferred, making the heart grow sick. In the course of planning this talk, I asked for stories of hope deferred, and Helen and David from our St. Paul's family have been incredibly brave in sharing their story of hope deferred with us. I just want to say this is a huge act of generosity on your part, Helen and David. Thank you so much for being willing. Helen wrote to me and she said this: "For years, I was so jealous of the infertile women in the Bible. Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, Hannah, Elizabeth, all their prayers were answered. For more than 7 years, we experienced the pain and loneliness of infertility with no assurances from God. It is an isolating and desolate experience. Every part of your life comes under strain, relationships with each other and with God. I had huge fears about never being a mum. My lifelong dream. I felt so separated from the people around me and those who had their own young children. And I assumed they would never be interested in me because I did not, could not. We waited. We tried. To be honest, without very much hope at all. Ultimately, after a lot of medical intervention and complications, and with the help of an incredible donor, Maisie was born." And you'll see an image of Helen, David, and Maisie coming up now. "She is the answer to so many prayers. She is our total joy, born in the perfect time, in God's perfect plan. For over a year now, we have been trying to give Maisie a little brother or sister. As well as all infertility treatment being suspended for months during COVID, we have also had two losses during this time. Two little embryos that would have been our babies. Little lives that we won't get to meet this side of heaven. So precious to us and so precious to God. The most recent loss was especially physically difficult. So we are now grieving. But it's love that has made us a family, and love that keeps a family together. It's easier this time to make sense of things, and Maisie lights up our lives every day. But I am fearful of never having a second child, and Maisie not having the joy of a little brother or sister. We don't know what the future holds. But we believe in a God of miracles. He made our miraculous Maisie. And so we wait, this time with hope. There is no promise of exactly what is to come, but 3 years ago we were waiting too. And now we cannot believe that we are entrusted with Maisie to be her mummy and daddy. So in our waiting and hoping, we trust too." Thank you, Helen and David, for sharing that. I'm sure I don't need to tell you that we are all praying for you. And if you are watching this, whether you know them or not, I invite you to join in that prayer. Hope, when it's deferred, can really hurt. But as the proverb goes on, a hope fulfilled is the tree of life. We can be plugged into that life that comes from Christ, and we become that tree. And the thing about a tree is that it gives life to others. It provides shelter under its boughs. And so we are called to do the same, to be hope bringers to a world in darkness. Our immediate reality does look grim. We can be sucked into a kaleidoscope of frightening news and information overload. We are rooted in our world, and that is right. We need to have our feet firmly planted here, but we also need to have our gaze locked on heaven, because we are in this world, but we are not of it. He, the one that we worship, is creator. He is not created. He is outside of all of this mess, and yet somehow he's in it with us as well. And thank goodness this doesn't rest on us. It rests squarely with him. So let's look on him. Let's fill our gaze with him, because hope comes from the promise of God rooted in the work of Christ. And we do see glimmers of kingdom hope even in these days. I'm sure, like me, you have seen multiple newsreels this week of a possible vaccine going through final stages of trials. And I'm sure, like me, you rejoiced. And perhaps, like me, you got on your knees and you prayed that vaccine in. And you gave thanks to the Spirit of God at work through this. And you gave thanks for the brilliant men and women who are called to his service in creating this vaccine. However, it is so important to remember our hope is not in the vaccine. It is a signpost of God's redemption and his healing and his grace. It is not a God. We worship at the feet of one who is beyond anything made by man. Jesus is hope. We as the church are called to be the embodiment of hope in these days. When coronavirus is over, the church will remain. When presidents and prime ministers have come and gone, as sure as the sun rising and falling in the sky, the church will still be here. If nations crumble and the skies fall down, the church will stand, because nothing will stop the worship of God. If we do not praise him, the rocks will cry out. He is the source of all hope. As we know him, so we become the signpost of hope in this world. So let's spend time getting to know him and get our perspective back. Let's spend time going deeper and deeper into his presence. Let's not coast in our faith. Let's press into him, make room for him, allow ourselves to be reminded of the hope that is in him. And as we do that, so we become hope for those who desperately need it in the world. Amen.